Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
The legal provisions to give the government powers to establish mandatory quarantine hotels have been circulated to TDs ahead of the legislation going before the Dáil this week. The Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, was on Morning Ireland, and she said it'll take several weeks before the hotels were up and running, as it takes time for the legislation to pass through the Houses of the Eireachtas. Earlier today, I spoke to Professor Mike Toole, who's epidemiologist and technical COVID-19 advisor from the Burnet Institute in Melbourne in Australia. And I asked him to tell me about the quarantine system in the state of Victoria, what authorities had learned from setting the system up, and what exactly happens when a passenger arrives at the airport.
So in Australia, incoming travellers from all countries except New Zealand have to go into hotel quarantine. So they're met at the gate. They have a health screening. Their COVID tests that were done before they embarked on the flight are checked. Then they're issued with a direction and detection notice. That's the legal basis for their hotel quarantine. Mm-hmm. They're then taken through, escorted through immigration and customs. They pick up their baggage, they're provided food and water, and they wait until they're allocated to a hotel. Now, if they have any symptoms at all, they are allocated to what we call a health hotel. And if they don't, they go to one of other nine other hotels.
Okay.
They're transported by bus. There are interpreters available, and the bus driver is protected by a Perspex screen, and he wears an N95 mask, and then they're taken to the hotel.
Okay, and once they arrive at the hotel then, there's a bit of a briefing process before their process. What happens exactly there? What are they told in the briefing process?
Well, that's correct. When they check in, they're given more information about their 14-day period in hotel quarantine. They're then escorted to their rooms. Once they're in their rooms, they cannot exit their rooms for any reason except a medical emergency. Now, if they're smokers, they cannot smoke inside or outside their rooms. They are offered by the medical support team nicotine replacement therapy, and that's free of charge. But they cannot leave their rooms under any circumstances.
What about exercise?
And in addition, no, they have to exercise inside their rooms.
What about food?
Because we've had cases where guests mingled, mm-hmm. and we had cases arise from guests to guest and guests to staff. So we do not allow guests to leave their rooms.
And how do they get food then?
Okay, they are provided with three meals and three snacks per day. And in addition, they can order more food and alcohol at their own expense, but they are provided with three meals and three snacks.
And they're provided. How are they provided with that food?
Okay, so we've learned that it's important that guests do not open their doors at the same time. So meal deliveries are staggered so that on any one floor, only one door opens at a time. And that's the same for laundry drop-off.
Wow.
And that's on the basis of that we've had spread from that.
Can I just stop you there for a second, because I find that fascinating. Are you saying that it could spread even in the moment that two doors are open? It could spread from one room to a room adjacent. Is that right?
Exactly. We had a case in one hotel, it was called the Park Royal, where one guest opened her door to pick up her meal, and across the corridor, she was uninfected. And across the corridor, another guest opened their door, and inside that room, there were five infected people. So they had a lot of virus in the air in their room. And when those two doors were opened, the virus from the family of five spread across the corridor to the uninfected person, and she became infected.
Doesn't that doesn't that blow the 15-minute guidance out of the water?
Well, there's been a lot of dispute about the spread of this virus. So initially, it was said to be spread by what we call large droplets that did not spread beyond 1.5 metres and fell to the ground. And so we were told to socially distance by 1.5 metres, wear masks, and to wash our hands. But recently, it's been shown that this virus can spread in very fine particles that we call aerosols, and they can travel more than 1.5 metres. Okay. And so in that case, they spread across the corridor and infected that person.
Okay. Can we get back to the quarantine? I find what you're saying absolutely fascinating. So let's say you're in the room as a passenger inbound to Australia. You're in this hotel room and you're told not to leave. Has anyone tried to leave the hotel room under any circumstance? And what has happened to that person?
Yes, we've had a number of cases where people have tried to escape. We've had one case in Perth in Western Australia where a woman left the hotel and went to stay with her boyfriend. It's happened in other states, but it's becoming less common because we now have dedicated security guards that do not allow anyone to leave either their room or the hotel.
And are they sanctioned, the people who have left?
And very large fines, around about $1,000 Australian, and that's about $800 US. And that has proved to be a disincentive. We have not had any breaches like that recently, but we do still have this problem of people opening their doors at the same time on the same floor. So we have zoned down into the details of ensuring that no one ever opens their door at the same time as someone else on their same floor.
And the security people that are employed, are they employed by the state? Are they employed by the hotel? Are they tested? Do they have PPE? And where exactly in the hotel are they situated? Are they outside the door or are they on the floor?
So we've learned from experience that hiring private security guards is not a good idea. And that's due to some subcontracting issues where the staff is not trained in a standardised way, and also that they may have more than one job. So that meant last year that when we had a leak from hotel quarantine, that those workers then went to another workplace and spread the virus. So in Victoria, my state, all hotel quarantine staff are employed by a single agency, and that's a government agency. It's called the COVID-19 Quarantine Victoria. They, under their contract, they cannot have a second job, and they are remunerated quite generously. They are tested every day, including their days off, and that gives us an idea about whether the virus is spreading out of the hotel.
Our government is planning on introducing mandatory quarantine for passengers who are arriving from a certain list of countries. Do you think that's the best way of going about that?
Tommy, I think that's a problem. As I understand, people coming from the so-called red countries cannot fly direct into Ireland. So they will be flying via hubs like Doha or Dubai or New York, and they will be mingling with passengers from countries that are not red. And so I think there's a danger that there will be transmission between the people arriving from the red countries and people arriving from the green countries. So you would need very strict procedures at the gate so that you segregate the people from those two groups. And I think that's a really big risk for your system. In Australia, everyone has to go into hotel quarantine, except those from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to have to handle that issue at the airport, segregating those from the red countries and those from the green countries. I think for Ireland, you can't be complacent. You know, even if you establish these restrictions on incoming travellers, you still have to maintain the daily precautions like wearing masks, socially distancing, and hand hygiene. You have to do that almost indefinitely. We do that in Victoria, my state. We still wear masks everywhere we go indoors, and we are just hyper precautionary because we just don't want to go through what we went through last winter. And we proved that you can do it, and I think Ireland can also do it, but you cannot relax because the vaccine is being rolled out. That will take some time to protect your community.
Very interesting, wasn't it, to hear the detail of how it works? That was Professor Mike Toole, epidemiologist and technical COVID-19 advisor from the Burnet Institute in Melbourne, Australia.